the extraordinary aspiration of the practice of Samantabhadra. I bow down to the youthful Arya Manjushri, you lions among humans gone to freedom, in the present, past, and future, in the worlds of 10 directions, to all of you with body, speech, and sincere mind, I bow down. With the energy of aspiration for the Bodhisattva way, with a deep sense of respect, and with as many bodies as atoms of the world, to all you Buddhas visualized as real, I bow down. On every atom are Buddhas numberless as atoms, each amidst a host of Bodhisattvas, and I am confident the sphere of all phenomena is entirely filled with Buddhas in this way. With infinite oceans of praise for you, and oceans of sound from the aspects of my voice, I sing the breathtaking excellence of Buddhas and celebrate all of you gone to bliss. Beautiful flowers and regal garlands, sweet music, scented oils and parasols, sparkling lights and sublime incense, I offer to you, victorious ones. Fine dress and fragrant perfume, sandalwood powder heaped high as Mount Meru, all wondrous offerings in spectacular array, I offer to you, victorious ones. With transcendent offerings peerless and vast, with profound admiration for all the Buddhas, with strength of conviction in the Bodhisattva way, I offer and bow down to all victorious ones. Every harmful action I have done with my body, speech, and mind, overwhelmed by attachment, anger, and confusion, all these I openly lay bare before you. I lift up my heart and rejoice in all positive potential of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in 10 directions, of solitary realizers, hearers still training, and those beyond, and of all ordinary beings. You who are the bright lights of worlds in 10 directions, who have attained a Buddha's omniscience through the stages of awakening, all you who are my guides, please turn the supreme wheel of Dharma. With palms together, I earnestly request you who may actualize parinirvana, please stay with us for eons numberless as atoms of the world, for the happiness and well-being of all wanderers in samsara. Whatever slight positive potential I may have created by paying homage, offering and acknowledging my faults, rejoicing and requesting that the Buddhas stay and teach, I now dedicate all this for full awakening. May you Buddhas now living in the worlds of 10 directions and all you gone to freedom in the past accept my offerings. May those not yet arisen quickly perfect their minds, awakening as fully enlightened ones. May all worlds in 10 directions be entirely pure and vast. May they be filled with bodhisattvas surrounding Buddhas gathered beneath a bodhi tree. May as many beings as exist in 10 directions be always well and happy. May all samsaric beings live in accord with the Dharma, and may their every Dharma wish be fulfilled. Remembering my past lives and all varieties of existence, may I practice the Bodhisattva way, and thus, in each cycle of death, migration, and birth, may I always abandon the householder's life. Then, following in the footsteps of all the Buddhas and perfecting the practice of a Bodhisattva, may I always act without error or compromise, with ethical discipline, faultless and pure. May I teach the Dharma in the language of gods, in every language of spirits and nagas, of humans and of demons, and in the voice of every form of being. May I be gentle-minded, cultivating the six paramitas, and never forget bodhicitta. May I completely cleanse without omission every negativity and all that obscures this awakening mind. May I traverse all my lives of the world, in the world, free of karma, afflictions, and interfering forces, just as the lotus blossom is undisturbed by the water's wave, just as the sun and moon move unhindered through the sky. May I ease the suffering in the lower realms and in the many directions and dimensions of the universe. May I guide all wanderers in samsara to the pure bliss of awakening and be of worldly benefit to them as well. May I practice constantly for eons to come, perfecting the activities of awakening, acting in harmony with the various dispositions of beings, showing the ways of a bodhisattva. May I always have the friendship of those whose path is like mine, and with body, words, and also mind, may we practice together the same aspirations and activities. May I always meet a spiritual mentor, and never displease that excellent friend who deeply wishes to help me and expertly teaches the Bodhisattva way. May I always directly see the Buddhas, masters encircled by Bodhisattvas, and without pause or discouragement for eons to come, may I make extensive offerings to them. May I hold within me the Buddha's genuine Dharma, illuminate everywhere the teachings that awaken, embody the realizations of a Bodhisattva, and practice ardently in all future eons. While circling through all states of existence, may I become an endless treasure of good qualities, skillful means, wisdom, samadhi, and liberating stabilizations, gathering limitless pristine wisdom and positive potential. On one atom I shall see Buddha fields numberless as atoms, inconceivable Buddhas among Bodhisattvas in every field, practicing the activities of awakening. Perceiving this in all directions, I dive into an ocean of Buddha fields, each an ocean of three times Buddhas in the space of a wisp of hair. So I too will practice for an ocean of eons. Thus I am continually immersed in the speech of the Buddhas, expression that reveals an ocean of qualities in one word, the completely pure eloquence of all the Buddhas, communication suited to the varied tendencies of beings. With strength of understanding, I plunge into the infinite enlightened speech of the Dharma, of all Buddhas in three times gone to freedom, who continually turn the wheel of Dharma methods. I shall experience in one moment such vast activity of all future eons, and I will enter into all eons of the three times in but a fraction of a second. In one instant, I shall see all those awakened beings, past, present, and future lions among humans, and with the power of the illusion-like stabilization, I will constantly engage in their inconceivable activity. I shall manifest upon one single atom the array of pure lands, present, past, and future. Likewise, I shall enter the array of pure Buddha fields in every direction, without exception. I shall enter the very presence of all my guides, those lights of this world who are yet to appear, those sequentially turning the wheels of complete awakening, those who reveal nirvana, final perfect peace. May I achieve the power of swift magical emanation, the power to lead to the great vehicle through every approach, the power of always beneficial activity, the power of love pervading all realms, the power of all-surpassing positive potential, the power of supreme knowledge unobstructed by discrimination, and through the powers of wisdom, skillful means, and samadhi, may I achieve the perfect power of awakening. Purifying the power of all contaminated actions, crushing the power of disturbing emotions at their root, diffusing the power of interfering forces, I shall perfect the power of the Bodhisattva practice. May I purify an ocean of worlds. May I free an ocean of beings. May I clearly see an ocean of Dharma. May I realize an ocean of pristine wisdom. May I purify an ocean of activities. May I fulfill an ocean of aspirations. May I make offerings to an ocean of Buddhas. May I practice without discouragement for an ocean of eons. To awaken fully this Bodhisattva way, I shall fulfill without exception all the diverse aspirations of the awakening practice of all Buddhas gone to freedom in the three times everywhere. In order to practice exactly as the wise one called Samantabhadra, all-embracing good, the elder brother of the sons and daughters of the Buddhas, I completely dedicate all this goodness. Likewise, may I dedicate, just as the skillful Samantabhadra with pure body, speech, and mind, pure actions, and pure Buddha fields, I shall give rise to the aspirations of Manjushri for this Bodhisattva practice of all-embracing good, to perfect these practices without discouragement or pause in all future eons. May my pure activities be endless, my good qualities boundless, and through them abiding in immeasurable activity, may I actualize infinite emanations. Limitless is the end of space, likewise limitless are living beings, thus limitless are karma and afflictions. May my aspirations reach be limitless as well. One may offer to the Buddhas all wealth and adornments of infinite worlds in 10 directions, and one may offer during eons numberless as atoms of the world, even the greatest happiness of gods and humans. But whoever hears this extraordinary aspiration and, longing for highest awakening, gives rise to faith just once, creates far more precious positive potential. Those who make this heartfelt aspiration for the Bodhisattva way will be free of all lower rebirths, free of harmful companions, and will quickly see Amitabha, infinite light. And even in this very human life, they will be nourished by happiness and have all conducive circumstances. Without waiting long, they will become like Samantabhadra himself. Those who give voice to this extraordinary aspiration will quickly and completely purify the five boundless harmful actions created under the power of ignorance. Blessed with supreme knowledge, excellent body, family, attributes, and appearance, they will be invincible to vast interfering forces and misleading teachers, and all the three worlds will make offerings. Going quickly to the noble Bodhi tree and sitting there to benefit sentient beings, subduing all interfering forces, they will fully awaken and turn the great wheel of Dharma. Have no doubt that complete awakening is the fully ripened result, comprehended only by a Buddha, of holding in mind by teaching, reading, or reciting this aspiration of the Bodhisattva practice. In order to train just like the hero Manjushri, who knows reality as it is, and just like Samantabhadra as well, I completely dedicate all this goodness just as they did. With that dedication, which is praised as greatest by all the Buddhas gone to freedom, in the three times, I too dedicate all my roots of goodness for the attainments of the Bodhisattva practice. When the moment of my death arrives, by eliminating all obscurations and directly perceiving Amitabha, may I go immediately to Sukhavati, pure land of great joy. Having gone to Sukhavati, may I actualize the meaning of these aspirations, fulfilling them all without exception, for the benefit of beings for as long as this world endures. Born from an extremely beautiful superlative lotus in this joyful land, the Buddha's magnificent mandala, may I receive a prediction of my awakening directly from the Buddha Amitabha. Having received a prediction there, may I create vast benefit for beings throughout the 10 directions with a billion emanations by the power of wisdom. Through even the small virtue I have accumulated by offering this prayer of the Bodhisattva practice, may all the aspirations of beings be fulfilled in an instant. Through creating limitless positive potential by dedicating this prayer of Samantabhadra's deeds, may all beings drowning in this torrent of suffering enter the presence of Amitabha. Through this king of aspirations, which is the greatest of the sublime, helping infinite wanderers in samsara, through the accomplishment of this scripture dazzling with Samantabhadra's practice, may the suffering realms be utterly emptied of all beings. So there it is, the king of prayers, the extraordinary aspiration of the practice of Samantabhadra. This is 2002, available at fpmt.org. Now, as I was reading this, a strange bug landed on the very last stanza. So I think that bug has the karma to rise up out of an infinite cycle of suffering and rebirth. So this bug must be blessed by landing on the very last stanza. I've never seen a bug like this before, and I don't see bugs in my house. So this guy is going to get a blessing and go outside, and I'll be right back. Okay, well, there you go, little buggy. I'm sure we'll meet again. In a teaching, the Lama told us at one point that you're with people on the path, regardless of whether it's a negative or a positive relationship. So, you know, we have strong karma that connects us with people and with beings. And we will meet again, and we will continue to meet again and again and again. And this is a really interesting phenomenon I notice when I'm on a large retreat. You know, out of the hundreds and hundreds of people that might be there, I just keep seeing the same people over and over. Every time I turn, come out of the bathroom, you know, getting some food, you know, going to sit or whatever. And some of these people are ones that I connect with really easily and with, you know, with no effort, and others are not, and others are a little bit more of an agitated energy level. So it's interesting, you know, I'm aware of this, and if you try to apply to the same people that you might meet in your life as a recovering addict, through the programs, whatever 12-step program you might be involved in. If you think about that and you're looking at this person, you know, why is this the person that I'm in contact with right now? You know, why is that newcomer asking me to sponsor them? Or why is that one guy bugging me? Or whatever it is. And just trying to look at that as an opportunity for practice and an opportunity to practice, you know, all the stuff that we're talking about in the King of Prayers, really, you know, the aspirations of the Bodhisattva way, you know, being of service. You know, how can I help? What can I do for this being? And I know that I'm connected with them through the past and through our previous relationships. So it's an interesting spiritual practice, whether you see a bug or whether you get bugged by somebody in your life. Just trying to look at that as a way of possibly, you know, elevating that relationship to a higher status through spiritual practice. Another interesting practice that I've been working with in the past few months is, really more just like about the past month or so, is this idea that we're all in our own dimension, that everybody is kind of experiencing their own universe. You know, I think this is something that Reggie Ray had talked about, and Alan Watts, you know, I kind of hung out with each of those two teachers in the same period in the fall here. And I think what I got from that and some other teachings is that, you know, everybody's kind of got their own little cosmos, you know. And you think you're the center of the universe as an addict, and in some very real way, you know, you are. I mean, you have the life, the karma, all of the infinite potentialities of causation, which have led to this particular moment, this situation, this condition of body, speech, and mind. And, you know, there are no accidents, as we say in recovery, you know. But this infinite kind of progression of karma has led us to the point where we are at right now. And that's different and unique than the next guy, you know, or the next being, if you will. So I think it's interesting to contemplate that and to say, okay, now, not that I should be self-centered as the center of my own universe, but I'm kind of walking around in my own world anyways most of the time. So what happens when my world converges with yours, and when I disagree with you and what you should be doing and how you should be doing it, and what have you? And it's very interesting to use the following practice: respect the dimension of the other beings. Now, this is a tough one for addicts, but I find that for myself, as soon as I open up that way, and it helps to be doing a lot of other types of practice to really kind of get you in the space where you can, you know, consider this as an option. Just saying, I respect your dimension. I say that mentally as I'm talking to somebody, and I'm aware that I am trying to respect your dimension, and who you are and how you see things is the result of your history. And in reality, I'll give you a perfect example. I was at a meeting the other night, a girlfriend of mine walked by, and I thought she saw me, and she didn't see me, and, you know, she didn't say hi, and I said, hey, you know, and she didn't say anything, and I was standing there with a group of people, and they said, wow, that girl's really not hearing you. And I thought, oh boy, she's a weirdo, man. I know what's wrong with her, you know, why is she snubbing me and all this? And so I told her, you know, the next day, I said, boy, you know, thanks a lot. You know, it kind of hurt my feelings. And she goes, what are you talking about? I didn't even see you. And I was really in my own head, and I had a lot going on that day, and I was just trying to get home, and I'm really sorry, really love you, you're one of my favorite people. And I'm like, wow, what an addict thing to do, to really make it about me. The point is that I didn't know what was going on in her dimension, and I made it about my dimension. And if I could open up and just consider for a moment that whatever this person is up to is about them. It's about their karma. It's about their position, their path, their actions. And, okay, great. Instead of opposing that person, instead of trying to impose my will on that person, how about saying, you know, what can I do to be of service? What can I do to anything, whether it's a smile, perhaps, a pat on the back, hey, how are you? I care about you. You know, one thing I do, I got this from Eckhart Tolle, listening to his teachings a few years ago on the web. There's a lot of his retreats available out there and stuff. So I was listening to that. He said the best thing that you can do as a therapist, for example, or you can be more therapeutic than the best psychoanalyst if you can really learn to just be present for a person. So it's an interesting practice. You know, go to a meeting early. Put your hand out to somebody, you know, take their hand and hold their hand for just a moment and look them in the eye and take in a breath and say, how are you? Sincerely asking them, and then pause and listen to their answer. I mean, we all hate it when somebody goes, how you doing? How you doing? And then they move on to the next person and you're standing there going, well, I happen to be having a very shitty day, you know? So take that moment to be present. So that's one way to respect the dimension of another being. The other way is to follow the, you know, the Buddhist precepts of not killing, not lying, not stealing, you know, not taking intoxicants and all these kinds of things. So, I mean, there are a lot of different ways of practicing this. I'm just throwing it out there as something I'm sharing with you as my experience of what I'm working on. And it's very beneficial to me. Some of the other things I've been doing a lot lately are practicing yoga, different kinds of yoga, working with the Yantra yoga system through the Tibetan Lama Shogyal Namkhon Norbu Rinpoche, who has a great book out called Yantra Yoga. You can actually find that on my website. There's an article that I wrote on that. It's also available on Amazon and Snowline and so forth. And you can also go to yantrayoga.org to see where the next course is. Actually, we're having a course in Portland at the end of January 09 here, if you're interested and you're in the area. Come out and join us for that. But there are other different types of yogas as well. And just getting into going back to the gym and doing cardio workout and doing more physical meditation and being focused on full, complete breathing and all this kind of stuff, it's really fantastic. And for me, it really opens up my energy. It opens up my heart. And it really just enables me to be more present and to practice presence and to really be, you know, in my own body. And you know, like we say in the programs, you know, comfortable in my own skin. And this is really a fantastic way to get comfortable in your own skin, incorporating, you know, some physical movement and breathing. So if you're not interested in that, that's cool. But if you are and haven't never tried it, I would suggest that you know, drop by the gym or drop by a course. There's a million of them around. So I think it's worth looking into. It's definitely a very positive thing for me. The book is done. It is printed. It's going to be out on March 10th. You can pre-order now. If you were thinking about getting the book, please pre-order it now at Amazon. Or you can go to tinyurl.com/get the book. Now, that's quicker. And those pre-orders really help because that affects the next printing. And with the way things are in publishing these days, it's really helpful if people are buying the books. And, you know, it's $10.88 on Amazon. So buy one for yourself, for your Buddhist teacher, for your mom, for anybody who knows an addict, because the book is for everybody who knows an addict. I may have mentioned the Bob Thurman foreword, which is amazing. This is really a beautiful thing that he wrote for me, and I really appreciate that, Bob. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes and do a quick review. Give it a 5-star, whatever you want. But put a review up there if you would. It just takes a couple of seconds, and they do have to review it at Apple to make sure that it's not, you know, porn spam or something negative, whatever. But that would be helpful. We've got a few of them up there so far, but it's helpful for other people to make the decision whether or not they want to listen. Of course, you can go to the12stepbuddhist.com to vote for podcast topics. I hear you. I'm seeing those results. That's why I read one of the sutras. We're going to do one on setting up a daily practice. That seems to be the most popular request. And I'm doing an interesting thing here at the Portland Zen Center. The Zen Center of Portland. We always get that confused. Starting March 2nd, it's kind of based on the idea that the gal in San Francisco is doing the 12 steps in 12 weeks that they've had a good time doing. And they do that now monthly. I'm actually speaking down there in April on step 6, I think it is. But I decided to do something similar at the Zen Center of Portland. It's just called the 12-Step Buddhist Free Step Series, and we're going to go through the book starting March 9th, 7 o'clock. We're going to go through the book and just kind of do the first level of meditation on each step. And I think that should be a pretty productive, and it's, you know, by donation basis and all that. So if you're interested in that and you're in the area, come by. If you'd like a workshop or talk in your area, please feel free to contact me. I'll put that on the schedule. Happy to do that. It's a lot of fun. And I hope you guys enjoyed the last podcast with Dr. Sarah Ullman, neurologist doctor. She is really brilliant and really helped me understand addiction as a brain disease on a newer level. I've also been watching these HBO DVDs on addiction. I've reviewed a lot of that literature for my book. And it's just interesting to see how things are progressing. And I just heard Dr. Drew on Howard Stern today with, Artie, who's, a blazing addict. Talking about how the brain reacts the same, whether it's a substance or a process or a person or whatever you might be addicted to, whether it's food or gambling, or sex or smack. So the brain doesn't really distinguish. And an addict is an addict. So that's very interesting to keep in mind. That has broad implications for how we deal with recovery. A little something happened the other day recently that I heard about. I wasn't there, but a friend was going to an AA meeting actually for women and found out there was somebody there. They have a counseling thing. If you announce yourself as an addict, they counsel you. They go up and say, well, you shouldn't share. You can stay, but you can't share and all this and that. Because I think some alcoholics think that alcoholism is it's a one-of-a-kind syndrome, and it has nothing to do with addiction, and we're Puritans, and we get sober, and somehow we're better than, other people in some way. They get this kind of strange, smug attitude, and turns a lot of people off, a lot of people that would get sober. And so a couple of the gals were saying, hey, boy, you should have told those girls to leave. You should have told them, go to another 12-step program. So, I'm not trying to slam, AA in particular or anything like that. It's just that I think people really miss the point a lot of times. And this new information about addiction as a brain disease, I think, is irrefutable. And there's a lot of evidence out there. And the more we talk about it and the more we learn about it, perhaps the more open we'll become. And perhaps the more lives that can be spared from what is the number one negative condition, health risk in the country from some data that I've seen. So, addiction kills, and we have no business not helping people who need it, regardless of the situation and how pure we think we are in our own dimension, How are you practicing step 12 if you kick somebody out of a meeting? You tell me. It's ridiculous. So at any rate, people, enjoy yourselves. And thanks for listening to the podcast. Go grab the book. Hope you enjoy it. Contact me. And we'll see you very soon here in podcast land. Thank you.